This is Let's Keep It Real with Sandy Joy Weston, your weekly dose of positivity with awesome stories and guests from all over the world. It's an opportunity to learn some great new things and expand your mind. We'll tackle topics from all areas of life, and as always with Sandy, the sky's the limit.
Hello, hello, my Let's Keep It Real people. Well, you know, I love all my guests, but this one is especially awesome because I already know him. I was on his show, but before I bring him on, let me tell you a little bit about Jackson Henderson. Jackson is a versatile professional with a rich background spanning audio engineering, automation, and entrepreneurship with degrees in business management from Jacksonville State University and music business from Full Sail University, alongside an associate's degree in aircraft. I was like, oh my God, this is so varied. He's right. Aircraft armament systems from the Academy of the Air Force. Jackson has cultivated a diverse skill set. You think? Oh my God, Jackson, welcome to the show. I thought when you started out with a versatile professional with a rich background, you weren't kidding.
Yeah, I've done a lot, and I just try to make the most out of life any way that I can.
How are you, Jackson? Thanks for coming on my show. How have you been since the last time we spoke?
I've been well, just staying busy, just getting into different things and just trying to create as much as possible, you know, creating content and doing things with music and all kinds of stuff. So just very thankful to be able to do the things that I do.
I like that. I really like that. All right. So this is going to be easy for you then. What's your word? What's your word in the past 30 days that best describes, and it can be the first word that pops into your head, and then you have to tell us why you picked that word.
My word, and I thought about this a good bit because I wanted to really grasp what I've been doing lately, but I think it's definitely create. And the reason why, and it seems like a cliche cop-out answer for me as a content creator, but create is a word that is kind of like just bringing to life. And I think that that's important for us as human beings, because not only can we create other humans, but we have the ability to create things like everything around us, objects, we can create those. And the better we create, the longer things last. For instance, quality, you know, that's how you define something as quality, a quality vehicle. What does that mean? Usually it means it lasts a long time. So if we're creating, whether it's an object, a product, or we're creating content, whether that be video, photos, if you're saying something is good quality and you have created it very well, and it's something that has a lot of value, usually it means it lasts a long time. So I think that as people, we should try our best, strive to create the best quality things that we can, because those things will last a lifetime. And we want to leave a legacy for the people behind us to remember us for the things that we create.
I'm thinking about that because I know for me, there's some things I've worked on for a very, very long time. And when I finally get it out, for example, one of my books, I'm so excited, but I also, I feel as if I reflect upon it in a way that it makes me proud that I put in all that time for that end product, you know? But then there are other, and I think, God, I worked on that for 6 years. But Jackson, there's sometimes, do you ever do this, that I worked on that forever and it's well, not as well received as something I just worked on for a few months?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it doesn't mean I don't think I'm putting out quality.
Yeah. And sometimes the length of time you work on something isn't reflecting upon the quality of it. You could work on something for a short period of time and it could still have a lasting effect more than something that you work on for an extremely long period of time.
Yeah.
Value is always in the eye of the holder, right?
So yeah.
one man's trash is another man's treasure. You can sell something on eBay and some people might find it extremely valuable and other people might not find it extremely valuable. If I were to give you something that was like some audio equipment, you'd be like, I don't know what to do with this. But if I were to give it to somebody else who this is all they do, they would be like, oh my God, like, thank you. You know, so this is amazing. So it always depends on, you know, who is receiving it. But yeah, it doesn't matter really the length of time that you worked on something.
Yeah. Yeah.
About the weight that thing carries with who you're giving it to.
So I'm trying to pull it up because I'm looking for this question and it's so relevant to what we're talking about. And that, well, my son, he's an art student. He's a freshman at Tyler R in Philadelphia. But one of the kids, I was sitting down there waiting for him. Oh, here it is. And he was saying that when he has to bring something to art class, right? And they critique it. And somebody else, like you said, could have worked on it for months and he could have worked on it for one day. But the difference for him is he feels really good about what he's putting out there. Mm-hmm. And he's proud of what he put out there. You know, like he feels like he did everything. He didn't just throw it together.
Yeah.
Right. But his frustration was, and this is a question, by the way, that was for somebody else, but I want you to answer it, is that somebody else will just do an hour, which he'll do the whole week. And it seems to be better than what he put out there.
Yeah. So it's important that you kind of understand, like, what, number one, what's the end product that you're working on? Whatever you're working on, the end goal is the most important thing. So I was actually, and again, I love learning and studying. Like, people a lot of times will consider me as like the expert on stuff, but I'm just like, hey, I'd never seize an opportunity to learn or to grasp a new concept. So constantly watching YouTube videos. And I was watching this video the other day and the guy was like, make sure that when you go into a project, you understand the end of the video. Cause he says a lot of times when people make movies or documentaries or whatever, they focus on the beginning and like, how do we start this out? You know, how do we get it going? And then they have like this climax of the middle or closer to the end. And then the ending is kind of like that. It's very,
yeah, so very many times.
Yeah. Cause it's like, they didn't think about the end. They were just so focused on what they could just create that they didn't think about what's the end message. So you should actually start at the end and then work your way back. Because if you can do that, then your end result will have that lasting punch. It'll have that like, oh man, that really hit home. Because you should really have some sort of answer to people at the end. Like, if whatever you're doing, like a documentary or something,
okay,
be answering a question. And that's what people are wanting to know. Like the Avengers, which is like a movie, something like that. Mm-hmm. The question is, what happens? You know, what's going to happen to the good guys? You know, is the evil guys going to take over or are the good guys going to?
Yeah.
What's going to happen? So that's what we need. We need an answer to that question. Because what's a cliffhanger? A cliffhanger is when people have like a movie trailer or something and you don't know the answer. You don't know what's going to happen. And so now you're like, I have to watch this movie to find out what happens. And that's what gets people motivated or intrigued about your thing. So if you can add that that end punch to whatever you're doing,
yep,
that adds a value to what you're doing. People will value what you're doing because you have answered the question. You have answered the call that they've been looking for. So that's why I say work toward that, like work from the ending, like find out your end result and then work backwards. Because again, doesn't matter how long you work on something. If you can answer that end, then people will create their own value for whatever else comes before that.
You know, Jackson, I'm sitting here writing notes because you said it in a different way that actually gives what I am constantly saying to people validity, which is before I go on a podcast, before I write the email, before I do a speaking engagement, a workshop, whatever, I write down what's the outcome I want? What's the outcome I want? And that is the ending because what am I leading them to? You know, whether when I even when I send an email, what's the outcome I want to get from this email? And that's how I design my email. The same thing when you're putting together a speaking engagement. So they'll say, what's your big idea? Well, everything is supposed to be driving them to be convinced to think a little differently when they walk out of that room, you know? Ah, food for thought, but you're driving the message all the way to the end. And it's a whole different way of thinking of, but that's what I say. What's the outcome I want? And sometimes I'll say to my client, are you sure you want to send that email? Or are you sure you want to say that in the presentation? Is it really going to get you the outcome you want? Or when you leave, did you leave them with what you really wanted to get out there? I don't know if you're saying the same thing. I want to put words in your mouth, but that's what it made me think of.
No, and it all kind of revolves around purpose, right? Like it's like, what's the purpose? And somebody was talking to me the other day about like, oh man, like I'm not really good at talking to people because they were like, I heard you have a podcast, and but you know, I could never do anything like that because I don't know what to talk to people. I'm like, my podcast has a purpose. The purpose of my podcast is to gain knowledge and to help people share their stories. Everybody's got a story,
Good point.
whether you believe it or not. And that's the purpose behind my podcast. And so it makes it easy for me to talk to people in my podcast because I know what the purpose is of the podcast. It's to find out that person's story and to share it and to gain knowledge about what that person knows. So it like,
I love that. Yep.
I don't need questions ahead of time because I'm so intrigued in that person that my purpose is clear. Like I've got tunnel vision. Nothing outside of these walls is going to distract me from getting to what that person has, and I want to share it with other people.
How long have you been doing your podcast?
It will I th started in 2019.
2019.
It's been about 5 years.
So that was a perfect time to start it.
Like pandemic happens a year later, and that's when. So I actually started in-person podcast at first, and then,
Oh, no, I'm jealous.
and then somebody pitched to me to do a podcast with somebody remotely, and I was like, I don't do remote podcasts because you know me as an audio engineer, like I love clear audio, and I didn't want anything to like sound wild. Like I didn't know the guests, you know, what the equipment that they had and all that kind of stuff. So I was like, no, I don't know about that. But I did it anyways, because I was like, this is a favor, whatever. And then I was like, you know, I could do a lot of podcasts with pretty much anybody around the world if I do this remotely. And then that started it. I started just doing podcasts with some of my friends and then people that I'd never met before. And then I was reaching out to all kinds of people. And I talked to one of the people I really look up to. His name is Bobby Osinski. He's a former audio engineer, and he does all kinds of stuff. Like he's worked with Jimi Hendrix and a bunch of like top level people in the music industry. Never thought I'd be able to talk to that guy, but just because I started my virtual podcast, I was able to talk to him.
Well, I started Let's Keep It Real, probably this podcast, probably 16 or 17 years ago. The same thing, only because I wanted to talk to people around the world that were making a positive, powerful difference in the world. And I wanted to same thing, sh share their message. And these are people that never would have talked to me. I mean, I don't, you know what I'm saying? It would be hard to get to them.
Exactly, yeah.
And
But because you had that purpose of what you wanted to do, they could see your vision, so they said, oh
Very
yeah.
clear, very clear, very clear of what I wanted to do. All right, so I'm intrigued by this very much so, and I do want to get this point in because I'm always like, wow, I didn't think of that one. So just, you know, everyone, I want their bio, of course. I want Jackson's bio. And then three or four points that you want to weave in. Then we might get them in, we may not. I don't know about you, but some guests really want to know. Like you said, I don't care what I'm going to be asked. I'm the same way. Like, ask me anything. But some people like to plan, and I respect that. So I have it both ways. But your one statement, don't get burnt trying to keep someone warm. I love it. I think I know where you're going with this, but please tell us why you picked that one.
And I can't take credit for this. I actually heard this from one of Bobby Ossensi's podcasts. one of his guests said this, and I was like, oh my God, that is
amazing. I love it.
I absolutely
never heard it. Never heard it.
Yeah. So what he was saying and what I completely agree with is the fact that if you are trying so hard to help everybody else to get to where they want to go, you're going to have a situation where you're going to be doing things for other people and they might leave you hanging out to dry. They might not give you the opportunities that you need to be successful. So you're so focused on helping other people get to the level that they want to get to that you aren't even helping yourself. You are forgetting about yourself. And that's a lot of times I tell people, if you want to be great or well known at what you do, you're going to have to figure out how to be selfish. And a lot of people are like, being selfish, like, that's not a good thing. Sometimes being selfish is a great thing because one, being selfish is self-care. So you're taking care of yourself, because to me, selfish means I'm putting myself before what other people expectations or wants for me. So, you know, whether it's hygiene, you know, taking care of yourself, or health, as far as like, hey, I can't go out tonight because, you know, I need to exercise or something like that, or I can't do all these other things during the day because I've got to go work out. Like, those things are taking care of yourself. That's being selfish. And I think we just have these negative connotations to being selfish that sometimes we forget that that's how you take care of yourself. There's another thing that I thought about one day is, like, a lot of times people will fear that their friends will be upset with them for not doing stuff with them. But in reality, that's like what you've been doing this whole time in your whole life is why your friends like you in the first place. So if you have to set them aside to do something for yourself, then they should understand. Like, a true friend would understand, like, hey, I can't do this because I'm doing this other thing that's going to help me, you know, escalate my life. And that's where, like, jealousy and stuff comes into play with a lot of people's lives, is like their friends are jealous or upset that they're doing stuff without them. But a true friend will understand. They'll be like, hey, you're working on yourself. You're trying to escalate your career and you're trying to take advantage of opportunities in your life. So if you are not putting other people first, trying to create a fire to keep people warm, then you're going to be able to escalate your own self and get your own fire going. Because if you're trying too hard to keep other people warm, you might get burnt just trying to keep their fire going, because they might not be doing the things that they need to do, and you're trying to pick up their slack.
There's so much to unpack there, Jackson. There's so much. I'm taking all these notes, but I'm going to start with the biggest one. I think we should rename or come up with a different word for being selfish, because some of the people that I admire, I think about them, they do so much for other people, but they also do so much for themselves. And there are people that are selfish, but it's a totally different thing than taking time for yourself, considering your needs, considering what's best for you. We got to come up with a different word, Jackson. I don't know what it is.
And there might be one. We're just, you know, not thinking of it right
no,
now.
No, but serious, because everyone else. And here's another thing, and I would love to know if you experience that. You have a certain group of friends and you're all at a certain place, and then you start moving in a different direction. And that's when the jealousies, I don't know if you've ever experienced, set in, because they still want, hey, we want Jackson over here that did this, But you're like, no, because you're always seeking knowledge and moving on and developing. Has that ever happened to you, or do your friends all come with you?
It hasn't happened to me, but like I have helped other people and they have told me that, like, you know, people that they've been around have seen them grow and, you know, have developed a little bit of like jealousy, or like they're just hating on what they're doing. It's like, oh, you know, you're only doing this because blah, 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 blah. Like, it always say, like, when people come up with excuses for why somebody is being successful, then they're upset that they aren't at that same level. Because you wouldn't come up with an excuse like, well, you know, Michael Jackson is only got famous because of blah. It's like, no, he's just the king of pop. He's just Michael Jackson. That's why he's popular. So like when people are coming up with these things of hatred or jealousy, it's only because they aren't doing those things themselves and they're upset that they saw somebody else have success. But me personally, I usually keep a very small circle of friends because one, I try to make sure that what my friends do reflect who I am. You know, like my friends, I say, are an extension of me. Like wherever they go, that's where I am. If my friends are in the room, Jackson's in the room. And if I'm in the room, my friends are in the room. So where my name is, their name is. So I always tell people, like, I keep a small circle because I want where my name to go that people come with me. And I don't want to associate myself with too many people, because then the exclusivity or the value of my name doesn't hold as much weight, because everybody's like, oh yeah, I'm cool with Jackson too. It's like only so many people really say that.
So wait, you've had the same friends then, it seems like, for a long time, and they have your back.
Yeah, I've only got like a few friends that I've been friends with for like a long period of time. Like I've made some friends here in Memphis, and it's like the artists that I work with.
Oh, but okay.
It's like seven artists that I'm currently managing, and then like my business partner. But yeah, I don't really hang out with too many people who are one in Memphis, but outside of Memphis either, just because like I've only got these certain friends that are constantly doing stuff. And I tell people all the time, if you can't keep up with me, then I will leave you behind. And I don't mean that as in like, look at me, you know, I'm gonna leave you behind. It's like, I'm just letting you know, I'm forewarning you that I'm not going to sacrifice my own opportunities and career so that I can make sure that you don't get left behind. And I hope what I'm doing encourages you. I hope the moves that I make inspire you to stick with me, because we can't progress if both of us are willing to not do the things that it takes to be successful. One of us has to be pushing the other. One of us has to be competing to make sure that both of us can progress in the future. So I tell people that all the time, like, hey, I'm not just going to, you know, try to keep you warm and get burnt myself.
Oh my God, you're who? All right. So we need to back up with your, and I've had a lot of different people with varied backgrounds, but this is really all over the place. So it seems to me that you really enjoy a lot of different things.
Absolutely.
All right. But why did you make, I need to know a little bit more, like, why did you make some of those changes?
So I always tell people that this kind of started from my childhood. My dad is a very, he's encouraging, but he's not very like, he's not a rah-rah type of person. Like he believes that I can do whatever I want to do, but he's not going to like push me to do a lot of stuff. My mom is not that way. My mom is very like, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that, you know, do this, do that, all this stuff. So like my mom always told me like, you can do anything. She was that, like, you could be whatever you want to be. You could do this. Yeah. You could
go Jackson.
Yeah. That was my mom. And So I think that, and now as I'm older and I see other people and I see what other people do, I'm like, I look at them and I think about their parents. I think about, I wonder what their parents were like, because I can tell people who had supportive parents and who didn't, because I can see the actions that they make. And I'm like, I don't think your parents were encouraging you and helping you or supporting you doing things, because I can see that you aren't really motivated to do a lot of stuff, because my mom pretty much every day encouraged me to do stuff and get out and be creative and stuff. So that's why I am the way I am, is because she told me I can do anything. So I believed it. She told me that all the time. If you tell somebody they're good for nothing, they're never going to amount to anything. Mm. They're going to start to believe it. But if you tell somebody that they can do anything and they're going to be amazing, they're going to start to believe it. So whatever you tell somebody, that's what's going to be in their head. So anytime I do something, I'm not a cocky person, but I'm pretty confident when I do stuff.
Yeah.
It's because my mother kind of really instilled that into me. She told me I was great. So I just believe that I'm great at stuff. Like, even if I'm not, I think I am. And so when I think I am, that's how I do. Like, whether it's a sports or just, you know, what I'm doing, photography, videography, I'm doing music. I think I'm the best, which I don't think realistically, I don't think I am the best. But like,
I understand. Yeah.
I tell myself that so that I do a good job.
I think it's a wonderful balance between your mom and your dad, because it wasn't like he didn't believe in you, but he's not, come on, Jackson, you know,
yeah.
He knows you can do it, but it's more in a quiet way.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And your mom was over the top, which absolutely describes me and my husband. Absolutely. It's the same thing. I'm like, oh, and it does work. And I remember I was reading my son, I think it was right after he sent it to apply to colleges, to art school. And he didn't want me to see his letter to get in. I'm like, Cole, you sure you don't want somebody to work on it? This is a big deal. I mean, it makes or breaks the art school you're in. No, mom, I'm good. I'm good. Well, he ended up, you're going to appreciate this, Jackson. He got in to every art school he wanted, even though some of the art teachers said to him, you're kind of reaching a little bit high there, Cole, right? Have a safety school. And he was like, no, I'm good, right? But in the letter, there was pieces of it that one of the professors said, has your mom seen this? He's like, I think you should show it to her. And he goes, okay. And in it, there were pieces of, on the days that I couldn't see it within myself, my mom always believed in me. And my art, I want to be able to do that for others. I want my art to show other people, you know, what they're capable of. And that's what he wants to do with his art. And I was like, ah! But I thought, isn't that a great tribute? I said, yeah, whoever got you into those art schools were moms. Because, right? He was saying my mom could see something in me on the days that I couldn't see it within myself. And I was like, Jackson, you know, that must mean to me to see that.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing for people to believe in you. I remember I was at work, you know, at my job, and my boss, there was something that he needed me to do. I don't remember what it was, but there was just something that nobody could figure out. And it was just like, yeah, just, you know, when you get the chance, like, you need to do this. He was like, I believe in you. And I was like, it kind of took me back. But
yeah,
it was just weird. For when I say weird, I mean, like, it was amazing for somebody that was just my boss at work to look at me in the eyes and just say, I believe in you. And I was like, this isn't a sport. It's not, you know, I grew up playing football and did track and other stuff. And I'm just like, I don't think anybody ever just looked me in my eyes and told me that when it was just something I needed to do. And it was, I'll never forget that. Like, I don't even remember what he believed in me to do.
What you did, but
I don't even remember.
That's a great leader. That's a great leader.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll never forget that because it was, and I, ever since he said that, I try to tell other people that because I know how it made me feel.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to reciprocate that feeling to other people.
I want every boss out there to hear this because no, it's as much as it sounds like, okay, this logically makes sense. We motivate people from highlighting their strengths, right? You do. Not that you don't say something to them if they have to correct something, but when you build on their strengths and you really do lift them up, you get much more out of them.
Yes.
But most leaders don't do that. And I can tell you that because so many people come on my podcast that are executive coaches that go into companies to try to change the atmosphere in the company because it's so negative. So I don't understand that. I mean, unless it's just emotions running wild and they know it's not good, but they don't know what else to do.
Yeah. And I think, which is sad that most sports coaches aren't businessmen, because sport coaches would probably make the greatest managers and mentors within companies. Because when you are coaching athletes, you need to one, you have to deal with personalities, right? Everybody's got different personalities. Everybody doesn't accept coaching the same way. Some guys like being yelled at because maybe they had parents that were hard on them. And so that's just what they're used to, is being yelled at. So they can take it. Like it doesn't phase them. And then some people, if you yell at them, like they shut down. So if you're a coach, you have to be aware of that. You have to see what happens when you yell at somebody and how they react to it. And does it motivate them or does it make them shut down? And then also as a coach, you have to deal with personnel. Like if you're like, say if there's a, and football is my best way to talk about this, but say if you have a guy who's a really good route runner and you need a certain play to happen. So you need this guy to go 5 yards up and out. And that's the play you need to win the game.
Yeah.
You wouldn't take the guy who's just in that spot. Like say you need to run it on the right side of the field. You wouldn't just say like, whoever's on the right side of the field, run this play. You'd be like, hey, let's get the guy who can do this the best and put him in that spot. And that's how, as a coach, you know who's a good coach and who's not. And you know who's paying attention to their team, is because they know that sometimes it's about the Jimmies and Joes and not the X's and O's.
Oh, I like that. The Jimmies and Joes. Ah, Jackson. All right. So on an average day, with all this going on, how do you spend your time right now?
Man. I crush everything and condense it as much as possible. So usually in the morning, I try to be as creative as possible. So I'm like either creating content or like thinking up ideas or trying to like reach out to companies and stuff like that. And that's what I try to do before for like 9 o'clock, because around 9 o'clock, I usually go to the gym. And then, but I didn't go to the gym specifically because I wanted to make sure I had time to prepare for this. And good thing I didn't, because it started early. But then after I get done with the gym, which I try to make that like an hour, like I know some people could be in the gym for forever, but I just try to make sure I condense my time.
That's because they're socializing.
Yes.
Just nothing wrong with that.
You can work out hard for 20 minutes and get more done than what some people do in an
hour. My husband goes, he's there for 2.5 hours. I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah. But
they're yapping. You know, it's the boys' time, which is, I get it. I get it.
So, yeah, I try to do gym for an hour, come back home, shower, all that good stuff. And then, you know, just kind of finish up whatever I was doing, whether it's music or creating content, whatever. And then I go to work at like 2. I have my job at the automation work that I do is from like 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. And so when when I get home from work, I just, you know, wind down and go to sleep. And then I wake up and restart everything all over again.
So what do you do at the automation company?
So I do a lot. Owens Corning, this is a fun fact for everybody. Fun fact, Owens Corning really They didn't pay attention to the roofing sector for a while because it wasn't the moneymaker. See, Owens Corning, like the Pink Panther, I don't know if everybody remembers that, but they actually took that logo from like when the Pink Panther first came out, like the cartoon
Okay, I remember Pink Panther.
So they kind of branded the company with that at the same time. But you know, they make like that insulation, that pink insulation and composite and stuff like that. So they do all that. Then they also bought like an asphalt company, Trumbull. And so Owens Corning does a lot of different stuff. But anyway, so roofing wasn't really what they wanted to like be the moneymaker until it became a moneymaker.
Okay.
So the personnel is very small at Owens Corning. Like they don't have a ton of people to do all the jobs that they need. So anyways, I said that to say I do a lot at my company. I do like networking as far as like making sure that things are connected via like Ethernet and stuff like that. Then I do automation. So that's like PLCs, where it's like I control like robots and
Yeah.
control motors and drives and all that stuff. And then I do a lot of the electrical work there. So it's just like a hodgepodge of different things, which fits
Yeah.
me. Like I'm the
Yeah.
type of person who does everything. So it fits my personality anyways.
Okay. So that's 2 to 10, right? You said?
2 p.m. to 10 p.m. Yep.
Okay. And it sounds to me that it's not like, oh my God, drudgery for you, that you really enjoy it.
And it's because it's a challenge. I like being challenged, and I'm not a type of person who wants to as when things start to get easy, I get bored,
You
and
get bored.
I try to make it a challenge. Like I play solitaire a good bit, and it's because I recently found out that you can't like you can win any game of solitaire that like a computer throws at you. So I thought that there were some games you just can't win, but then I was like, oh, you can win every single game. You just sometimes might be making the wrong moves. And so I would just hit the undo button and go back just to make sure that I found out where I messed up, because it's life is like that, right? Like you can't just hit an undo button and just go back in life, but in this game I can. So I like finding out where I messed up because I want the challenge of just figuring out. I don't want to just start a new game and just start from zero again just because what I was doing was hard. Like I want to figure out why I messed up so that I can correct my mistake.
Jackson, I don't think I realized there was messing up in solitaire. I don't know if I've
I really thought that I was like, oh, I can't win this game. Then the game must be messed up. It's not me. And then when I think just by playing it, it made me realize like, oh, I messed up. I can go back and fix my mistake. I thought that it was just a bad deal. Like I just thought the game had just dealt me the wrong card.
Yes, that's what I would think.
Yeah, it's not like that. You can win every single game. But if you get to a point where you can't make any more moves, you messed up and you need to go back and fix what you messed up. It's not a bad deal,
Okay.
which is a life message, right? Like sometimes we're just like, oh, life just messed up. Like, you know, I should be doing this, but you know, something happens. Like, no, you can fix what's going on. Like you need to change something in your life to make it better for yourself. And you can blame other people. You can blame everything, but that doesn't help you because all you're going to do is just do something different. But if you eliminate excuses and you really think about what you did wrong, then you can fix it and you can change the narrative. You can change what's going on in your life.
It's so funny. Every time you tell a story, I have something that I'm thinking in my head that sounds completely opposite, but I'm like, yeah, that makes that sense to me. For example, people in relationships. Now, maybe you think this is a leap of faith, but no, it's not. You have a relationship, it doesn't go well, and then you meet somebody else. And the same thing happens, but you never took time within yourself to say, What is it within me that keeps drawing these people in?
People do that all the time with relationships. Like they'll be like, man, I can never, whether it's females or males, they'll say, I can never find a good person. You know, all people are like this and blah, blah. It's like, if everybody doesn't work out for you, what's the one common denominator? You.
You can go and look at yourself. I know people are going to say, how did you get from solitaire to relationships? But you see, right? You're looking at yourself. You're willing to take, instead of like blaming the person, well, okay, maybe they were a jerk or whatever. Why am I drawing them in? And why am I putting up with it? And what can I change within me? So I think the best advice I can give someone is to look at a solitaire game.
Play solitaire and watch somebody play solitaire and see how they react.
Do you play on your phone or the computer or both?
On my phone.
I have to ask, is this like a gambling thing? Can you bet on it?
Well, the way I play, no, but you probably could. And it's
funny. I was wondering if you're analyzing this so you can gamble then.
Oh, no. The funny thing is my wife, she asked me the same thing. Like one time she saw me playing solitaire and she was like, you're playing solitaire? I was like, yeah. And she was like, can you bet on this? Are you betting? I was like, no.
Yeah, like, okay. Well, but now I understand it. All right. This was a big thing for me because when you reached out to me to be on your podcast, I'm like, I'm not in the music business. So tell us about Romera Records.
So that
was, remember that? I was like, wait a minute. Are you bringing guests on? I mean, I can't even sing. And you're like, I can dance. No, you're good. You're good.
So yeah, that really started my music venture. I started it because I was like, if I'm going to do music, I can start a record label, my own record label, and have a company and all this kind of stuff. But it's my audio portion of my life. I do audio books and I've been trying to be like a voice actor for people. And that's another thing I've learned in life is, which I'm kind of going on a tangent here, but like, if you want to do something, if you want to do something, but you don't have the opportunities to do it, just create your own opportunities. And for example, I thought about this the other day. I really want to be a voice actor for a video game. And, you know, I grew up. I grew up watching like Mortal Kombat and all these other like action video games and stuff like that. And I was like, well, instead of me waiting around to hope and, you know, pray that one day somebody from Mortal Kombat picks me up, let me just make a video of me doing the voices of Mortal Kombat. And that way, like, I'm still doing it. You know what I mean? Like, even though I'm actually in the game, I can make up my own scenario of me being the voice of Mortal Kombat, and I can post it online. And if people think it's great, then I know I did a good job and I know I can do it. And if people think it sucks, well, then it knows I need to work on it and I'm not ready for the opportunity yet. So I think a lot of times people forget that you're either good enough or you're not. It's one of the two. And it's either somebody's going to take you for an opportunity or they're not. And so you might as well just pretend you can do the scenario instead of just hoping one day that you can do the scenario. If you want to be a manager of a musician, find a musician and just manage them. Like, you don't have to hope and pray.
Well, there you have it, folks. Just find a musician and manage them.
Yeah, like there's plenty of musicians out there who need help that are just no-name musicians. Like,
I get it.
I think a lot of people are like, I either need to be Taylor Swift's manager or I don't need to do this at all. They forget the in-betweens. There are plenty of people who are just low-level musicians who just play at some juke joint down the road every once in a while who could probably use a manager. Instead of aiming so high, just start at the bottom. And if you can't handle the bottom, then you would never have been able to handle a Taylor Swift. So start at the bottom and then your name will just kind of travel with you wherever you go. And people are going to talk about you But if you can't handle the small things, you would never even be able to handle the big things.
Jackson, that is so profound for almost every profession, because I'm thinking of people that I know are amazing, high paid coaches, but some of them actually, for one of them I know for 2 years said, hey, will you be a guinea pig and can I coach you and not charge you anything so I can learn and develop? And he did that with a bunch of people. And now he's doing extremely well. Exactly. Same thing with speaking gigs. Not every speaking gig you're going to get on the stage for $10,000 to $15,000 or $20,000. But in the meantime, you can go out there, present yourself as a speaker, even for free.
Exactly. And if you can't handle that, then you wouldn't be able to handle the $10,000 gig or
I love that. All right. So, whoa, we got to back up. So did you make the video and put it on YouTube?
I haven't yet. I was going to make it like today. Because I thought about it this weekend.
Oh, you just thought about this. I got it.
Yeah, this is fresh.
Yeah. Hot off the presses, people. Hot off the presses.
Yeah. I shot a documentary this weekend. And so like when I have these thoughts, they just kind of like, you know, stack upon each other. So I'm shooting the documentary. Then I'm like, oh,
somebody else's documentary or something you created?
Yeah, it's a guy that I know from back home, and he wanted to do a documentary on a book that he had written. And so, and I actually was the narrator for the book. And so shooting this documentary, and while I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to need music. And I was like, well, I make music, so I could just, you know, make all the music for the documentary. And then also I was like, you know, I want to do all these things for like big companies and stuff, but you know, I don't have the connections to like be a voice actor for all this and be a narrator for some Netflix movie, but I can just do it myself. Like I can make my own movie. I've got all the equipment to make a great movie and I could just narrate it myself. And then I could show people and they're going to love it. And like, why am I waiting for opportunities when I could just create them myself? Even though it might be the level that I want it to be, I can still do it. Like, why am I waiting?
I want this to be like slowed down and the highlight of the entire show, because you're creating opportunity is what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then by creating the opportunity, if you, like you said, you're either good at it or not, if you're good at it, other people will see that. And you're not waiting for somebody from like Mortal Kombat to knock on your door. How are they going to know you're good at it? Well, they're going to see you on YouTube. Yeah. Or you're going to create your own movie. And that's in so many different, if you have enough, great. You know, if you're doing what you love and you can't keep up with it, but if you want to start something new, like a lot of people that are watching this show, they had careers and now they're taking their side gigs and making it their main gig. And they don't know. They're like, I just need that first.
Yeah.
I'm going to have them call you, Jackson.
And I think that's a lot of people's issue when it comes to taking advantage of opportunities, is they're waiting for that call.
I agree.
But it's like, why? Just do it. And eventually, if you do it enough, people are going to look at you and aspire to have what you have. So that's why I always say, just create, just do it. Because at the end of the day, you can say you did it and you don't have to look back and be like, well, I didn't do it for such and such. Well, a lot of people have it. You know, I think about that all the time. Like I think about things I haven't done. And then I'm like, yeah, but nobody I know has either.
Nobody. So is that what you want to do full time, or do you still want to be doing different things like a voice actor?
Yeah, I would still want to do a ton of different things. Like, you know, I've already narrated books, but I would like to do that all the time. As I said, I love what I do at my job, but I am a type of person who I understand that takes up at least 40 hours of my week. Going to my job and doing that work. And I understand that I only have so much time on this world. So I want to phase out my job and start doing things, other things that I want to do, and spend more time on other things. Like, I've been at my job since 2019 and I'm 31. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, Jackson, like, you're so young. Like, but I get that. But I want to be able to fit in as much, because there's things that haven't happened. There's things I don't know that I still want to do. I just started teaching myself coding, like Java and CSS and HTML, like all that coding stuff to create. I just started teaching myself that just by getting on YouTube and watching other people, because that could take me years to be great at. And I don't want to be behind in what's going on in the world. And that's another thing. I always tell myself I'm behind, so that I'm like constantly trying to catch up. And it's just like a motor in my head that's just always spinning. So it's important to me to just continue to do different things and understand that life is very finite. And I only have so much time to do all the things that I want to do, because I haven't done everything that I know about, let alone the things that are going to be created in the future.
Yeah. Hey, how long were you in the service?
It was almost 4 years. I got medically discharged, but I was in the Air Force from 2015 to 2018.
Why did you get discharged?
So in the short, I think the things that I was doing at work kind of messed up my back. And so I just had like a back problem, and it created a ton of pain for me. Like, it was hard to walk sometimes. Ooh. So, And so I actually asked if they could just give me a different job, and they basically just said, no, we're going to kick you out. So I was like, okay, fine. So yeah, that was the end of my stint in the Air Force.
How's your back now?
It feels pretty good sometimes, and then sometimes it doesn't. I think I definitely benefit from not having to do something. You know what I mean? Like, when I was in the Air Force, it's like, I have to do this. Like, this is my job. I have to do this. But now, at my job now, I don't have to do certain stuff in a particular way. So I can like kind of find a workaround to make sure
it
doesn't mess up my back. So yeah, and then, you know, just my daily life, it allows me to take care of myself a lot better than in the military, where it's just like, go, go, go. Like, you have to do it a certain way.
Did you ever get a diagnosis?
Yeah. They said I had, things like herniated disc and like bulging disc, and I had bone spurs. Bone spurs, like where your bones, your vertebrae just kind of like, it has bones coming out. So those were like the issues I was having.
Well, I hope the working out helps you.
Yeah, like doing a lot of core work, strengthening the core so that your back isn't doing all the work and creating any kind of like inflammation, or making sure that basically my body is working as a team instead of something doing all the work.
Yeah. I was wondering, because I saw that you said that, you know, the Air Force, and I'm like, when did he fit that in? I forgot about that.
Yeah, I tell people all the things that I do. And I was recently on a podcast for it's like some high school kids, and it's here in Memphis. There's like a huge Sears building that closed down a while back, and they turned it into the Crosstown Concourse. And then there's just like a multifaceted building where there's like restaurants and people live in there, and then businesses in there.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really cool. But there's even a high school in there, and the high school, they have like their own music room where they can create music and do podcasting and all kinds of stuff. And they brought me in to talk about podcasting and all the things that I do. And one of the kids was asking me, he's like, man, like, how long were you, you know, doing all this? Cause he was trying to like do the math of like how old I am. And I was like, I just fit everything in like strategically.
You're very disciplined, and you have two qualities that I think are absolutely necessary to do all that you're doing. And one is you are disciplined. Number two, you're passionate.
Yeah, for sure.
So those two things right there. And so you're passionate and you're disciplined, and you, like you said, you know your mission when you're doing something. You know why you want to do it. You're not just doing it. Like when you podcast, when you do your music, you know why you're doing this.
Yeah, I was working with one of my friends on a song, and it was just him rapping, and he was struggling, like trying to finish the song. And he was like, man, I don't know what to talk about. And I was like, well, what's the song about? He was like, I don't know. I was like, well, that's your problem right there. I was like, you don't even know what you're talking about.
He didn't know what his song was about.
Yeah, he was just rapping. And I was like, dude, like when you have a purpose for the song, the words are going to come because you know what you're talking about. But if you don't even know what you're talking about, you don't know the purpose of the song, then that's why you're struggling right now.
And did you help him?
Yeah, that helped him a lot because then he was like, oh, I didn't even think about that. I was like, that's crazy.
Oh, just rap it. Oh, Jackson, thank you for being on my show. I really, really appreciate it. And I'm glad the timing worked out, even though, you know, you can go to the gym earlier, maybe.
I could have. I could have.
No. No, I mean, like, now. Can you fit it in?
Yeah, I probably could, yeah. But I have a home gym as well, so that's convenient.
Oh, there you go. All right, before we go, though, is there anything you want to tell the people around the world that we didn't get in today?
I would say something that I've been thinking about a lot lately is the mark of somebody who is mature is somebody who has compassion. And I don't know if the world is losing or gaining compassion. I would say we're kind of gaining it with the younger people.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think older people really had it tough. Like just think even back to, you know, the Stone Ages, where they didn't have metal or brick buildings. They didn't have air conditioning. And then over time, like we have just created these things that have, believe it or not, have made us softer people, right? Like those people really had it tough, whether they were in cold climate or hot climate. They didn't have the resources and the things that we have nowadays.
Yeah.
So I do think that older people, you know, they kind of wish that younger people were tougher, whether it be mentally or just physically, whatever. But I think that it's important for us to continue to be compassionate, because when you are compassionate, you are allowing people to fail. And I don't encourage people failing as far as like it's okay to be a failure and just don't do anything. I think it's great to be I think it's great to fail, but not great to be a failure. I think sometimes people think failing means I am a failure. If you fail, that's not who you are. That's what you did. People lose games. Michael Jordan lost basketball games, but people still think he is the greatest basketball player ever.
Absolutely.
So and he missed shots, but you know, I don't know who said this. It might've been him, but they say, you know, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So if you aren't taking shots, you've missed all of them.
Yeah.
If you aren't taking chances, you've missed all those opportunities. So I think it's great that we have compassion for people who attempt things and fail. We have compassion for people who try things and fail. But those people still need the compassion because it helps them progress in life. As long as we are taking a step forward and progressing in life, it's a great thing. No matter how you mess up.
Yeah, I agree.
No matter what you've done, you know, you've worked with troubled youth and stuff like that, and they've been through some stuff, you know, whether it be family, parents neglecting them, what have you. If we just have compassion for people who haven't been dealt the right cards, but aren't blaming themselves, and then they were blaming themselves, but let them know like, hey, it's okay. Like things happen, but how can we fix this? How can we get better to keep moving forward, keep progressing?
I love that, Jackson. So true. And you have to remind yourself, because to me, failure is me not trying, me not putting myself. If it doesn't work out for me, I don't even think of that as failure. I just go, yes. Okay, that didn't work out this time.
Yes.
But if I don't put myself out there, that to me is.
That's okay. Failure.
Yeah, that's failure to me. And I've always thought that way. All right. How can we find you? How can we find your podcast? We need to know everything. How can we find Jackson Henderson?
So you can find my podcast on YouTube and then also on all the, whatever your favorite streaming platform is, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever. And then also it's a Romera Records podcast. That's R-O-M-E-R-A Records, R-E-C-O-R-D-S podcast. And then also you can find me on Instagram as Supa Hendo. That's S-U-P-A. H-E-N-D-O, Supa Hendo. And you can add me on Facebook, Jackson Henderson. That's my real name. So I don't shy away from helping people if they have questions or anything like that. You can reach out to me on any of those platforms because, you know, I think it's important to just, you know, help people get to where I'm at.
I love that, Jackson. All right, my Let's Keep It Real people. Jackson, I would really appreciate you rating, liking it, and share it with just even one person that you believe would benefit. And you know what I'm going to say? Until next time, thanks, Jackson, and toodles.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to share and subscribe if you enjoyed the show. And remember, keep spreading the positive.